This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Joy Powers. Cases of COVID-19 have skyrocketed in Wisconsin. The state has become one of the nation's leading hotspots for the virus, with the areas around Oshkosh, Green Bay, and Appleton as the top three places with the most new cases nationwide. It's a shocking development for a state that had relatively few cases earlier on in the pandemic. And as the Republican legislature continues to fight against Governor Evers' mask mandate, health professionals are urging residents to take extra precautions at this time of increased risk. Dr. Laura Cassidy is one of those health professionals. She's the director of epidemiology at the Medical College of Wisconsin, and she joins me to talk about the spike in cases and how to stay safe. Dr. Cassidy, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect.
Thank you for having me.
So right now, we're seeing a huge spike in COVID-19 infections. Some people have even compared it to what New York was like in March. Do we know what some of the causes of this spike are?
Well, I don't think we know causality for sure, but we do have ideas of why we're seeing more cases. And it did start increasing at the end of summer. And when the rates start going up and start spreading into the community, it can spread a lot faster. And if it's left uncontrolled, it's like a freight train. It just spreads really fast. And so now we are actually seeing a surge across every county in Wisconsin, not just in the cities, but also in the rural areas.
Yeah, you know, people have said colleges returning to campus have been a big reason that we're seeing this spike. Of course, we have colleges that are not just in cities. We have colleges all across our state. And colleges around the country have been credited with creating spikes of infections. What are some of the reasons that college campuses can so easily spread this kind of disease?
Well, at the end of the summer, we were seeing an increase in cases in the 18 to 24-year-old young adults. And so with colleges, you're bringing in students from across the state and even perhaps from other states. And so there's movement of people. People move the virus. There's a large number of asymptomatic people in that age group who may not know they have it. And then you're bringing them together in a space where they interact. And so whether it's dorms or living spaces, they're not designed to keep people away from each other. So there's more social interaction and more less physical distancing and more people interacting. And those are the circumstances where the virus spreads.
Yeah. You know, as we're thinking right now about our own safety, regardless of where we are, on a college campus, at our homes, in an apartment complex, perhaps, should we be curtailing some of the activities that we've maybe gone back to outside of the home? I think a lot of us have relaxed our behavior a bit, especially during the summer, but should that be changing?
Yes, I think it should. And we all know now that it is safer to be outside because the respiratory droplets disperse more quickly. And we all know to keep our distance, wear a mask, and wash our hands. But right now, when the positivity rate is so high and the reproductive number's high, so there's a large burden of cases and it's spreading quickly, everybody is at greater risk of being exposed to the virus and also of spreading it. So now is a time when, you know, we really need to be careful about what we do. We need to avoid crowds. Our personal decisions matter. And we're going into cooler weather where people will be inside. And so it is really time to start thinking about this. Flu season's coming. Everybody should get a flu shot to protect themselves because we really need to stay healthy. In case we are infected, we want to have the ability to fight the virus.
Yeah, what is the danger of, you know, going into flu season especially? Does that put you at a greater risk of getting other diseases as well?
Not necessarily, but if you do get sick with the flu, then your immune system is a little more vulnerable. It's fighting the flu and you're a little weak. And so you don't want to get another illness on top of that. And they say you can get COVID-19 and the flu at the same time. So that might be even more, you might get even more sick. And so right now, only 40% of Wisconsinites get a flu vaccine. And that's something we can really do better on. And if we do that, then we keep ourselves healthier.
Yeah. You know, we know so much more about this disease than we did last spring, but I think there's still some misconceptions about how it's spread. Can you clarify what the general reasons are for the spread of coronavirus? What activities and things are generally spreading it to people?
Yes. So we do know that it's a respiratory virus. And so droplets come out of our nose and mouth when we sneeze, cough, shout, sing, talk. And so they come out and then they go through the air and they can enter another person through their eyes, nose, or mouth. And so that's why maintaining physical distance, for one thing, is important, but also wearing a face covering will prevent that spread. So people spread the virus to each other. And so, especially when community rates are high, like they are now, when people get together, there's more people in an environment and it's more likely to spread. And we know that being inside, the droplets can last longer in the air. So proper ventilation is important and it can be spread like that. So really the safest thing to do is keep your bubble around you, you know, maintain a bubble around you, maintain your space. Right now, we really need to avoid any activities with crowds and protect ourselves and our community.
What are some of the most risky things that you can be doing right now? I'm thinking about things like going to the gym, which I know some people had started doing again, or singing in a choir. What are some of these activities that we may have returned to that really are risky?
Well, things like singing in a choir, you know, there's the famous one study that showed up where, you know, when you're singing, you're releasing more respiratory virus droplets with more force. So it can go further. And generally, you're inside. Going to a gym, you know, I always think about how people interact with each other and how they interact with the environment they're in. So when you're in a gym, you're breathing more heavily and you're exercising. And if you're not wearing a mask, your droplets will spread further. And then you're on equipment and you move from equipment to equipment to equipment, person to person to person. So we need to think about our movements, our interactions with people, the duration and intensity of the interactions. The longer we're interacting with somebody who has the virus and we don't know it, the higher the likelihood we are of getting ill ourselves.
Yeah. Of course, while I know some people who have really relaxed their behavior over the summer, I also know other people who are higher risk and are still feeling a lot of cabin fever. You know, as you mentioned, of course, we know being outside, doing activities that are in the open air are better than doing things that are inside. What are some low-risk activities that can get us out of the house right now? Or, you know, should we be waiting until this spike subsides to even talk about that?
Well, you know, going for a walk is always a good thing. You know, if you walk past somebody on the street and you're not in close proximity to them, very low risk. Going for a walk, going for a run, riding a bike, playing tennis, playing golf. If you want to have a picnic outside where you space your chairs far enough apart and you only have a couple people and you wear your mask, you know, that's an activity I think people can enjoy. When we get into things like going to a movie theater or crowded sporting events, you know, anytime there's more of a crowd, there's more of a risk.
Yeah. Now, there's been a lot of misinformation spread about this next question. Of course, President Trump, who recently tested positive for COVID-19, along with many other people in the Republican Party, he's alleged that we're on the cusp of getting a vaccine, which his own health professionals around him say is unlikely. Do we have right now a realistic timeline for when a vaccine will be made, both public and then really accessible to the average American like myself or most of our listeners?
Well, you know, I mean, what I can say there is listen to the scientists. There's a few companies that are in phase 3 clinical trials. They seem to be going well, but they're going to complete the trials and make sure the vaccine is as safe and effective as possible. So I've heard different estimates of when we might, you know, there's people who are optimistic that we will have a safe and effective vaccine by the end of the year. But the thing we have to understand is then it takes time to roll it out. It takes time, you know, to get it to the people who need to get it, to get people vaccinated, to make enough of the supply. And then there's also a concern that there are people who don't trust the vaccine and won't get it, who should get it.
Yeah.
So we want to make sure it's safe for everybody.
I imagine those horseshoe crabs will be getting a little tired from how much blood we'll be taking. Oh, for listeners who may not know, that's how we create vaccines. So we're seeing a huge spike in cases right now, but so far a smaller spike in deaths. Unfortunately, it feels like that maybe is not something that we can rely on moving forward. Knowing what we know about this disease and how it's behaved in other cities and states with a lot of cases, what should we expect going into the weeks ahead?
Well, you know, deaths are a lagging indicator. So people get exposed, they spread the disease, and then there's many people who only have mild symptoms and don't get very ill. And then there's a subset of people who need to be hospitalized. And then there's people with pre-existing health conditions or increasing age makes them more susceptible to severe disease. So the general pattern is, even though people think they're healthy and they're safe doing things, at some point, if they contract the virus and they don't know it, they could pass it to another person and it could eventually get to vulnerable people. And then so when that happens, our hospitalization rates go up, which we're starting to see. And then, you know, a short time after that is when people might not survive the virus. But we do have better treatments. We have learned a lot. So hopefully, you know, we can prevent as many deaths as possible.
Ooh, it'll be interesting to see what happens moving forward. I'm torn, right? I think there's a part of my brain that wants to be really optimistic. And then there's a part of my brain that recognizes what the reality has been for this disease for a long time.
Yeah, you know, one of the problems too is it's kind of a roller coaster. It starts going up and then people change their behavior and then the rates go down. Like when they put the mask mandate in Milwaukee, our rates went way down. And then other things began to happen and it started to spread again. People relax and then it goes up and then you're scared again. And then, you know, you try to get it back under control. So it's just, it's exhausting. It is.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Cassidy, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect and sharing your work.
Thank you so much.
Dr. Laura Cassidy is the Director of Epidemiology at the Medical College of Wisconsin. You can find more of our coverage about COVID-19 at wuwm.com.